Hey, Random Chatter listeners, welcome back to Random Chatter Interviews. This episode is sponsored by all our Patreon donors. To learn more about how you can contribute to the Random Chatter Network and the perks you can get for your contributions, visit patreon.com/randomchatter. In this episode, I'm joined by the Random Chatter Network webmaster, Carrie. Carrie tells us all about growing up in the LA area and her passion for Aikido. We also have a wonderful discussion about a favorite topic for us both, food. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Carrie as much as I did. Hey, Carrie, thanks for joining me.
Hi! No, no problem. let's hope this doesn't have too much of a disaster.
We'll hope not. Just full disclosure to everyone, we are recording again with Carrie. Being a Californian, she loses power sometimes.
Sometimes. I don't lose power very often, fortunately, knock on particle board, but... Yeah, it's a bit annoying, and my building is kind of old, so sometimes I know my mom worries that I have too much stuff plugged into things.
It happens.
Nothing's blown up so far.
So we're starting over. We had 15 or 20 minutes that we were in, and unfortunately we lost Carrie's side of the recording. So. We are starting over. We've taken out an insurance policy. So if my power goes out, I'll be fine because I'm on my laptop. So I will be uninterrupted, except I'll lose my internet. But at least the recording won't go away. So, Carrie, we kick things off before with, first of all, what you do for the network. So some folks may not yet be familiar with you.
I'm the webmaster. For the Random Chatter Network, which basically means I play around in the WordPress and make sure all the menus look nice. And apparently, I'm also in charge of the polls, which I wasn't completely aware of when I got the job. But I'm starting to get better at. Polling or putting the polls up on a semi-regular basis.
I think you do very well with those.
Thank you.
I like those, and lately I've been like retweeting that. So once we usually when Joel will throw the tweet out there off the Random Chatter account to go see our poll, I will retweet that and then I will go take the poll myself.
Yes, I've noticed that.
You've noticed my retweets, or you've noticed that I've taken the survey?
I've noticed your retweets. I don't actually go in and look at who actually votes. I don't always see who's all voting. So.
Sure. But yeah, definitely, folks, if you haven't, they're pretty good. How often do you do them?
I'm trying for about every month or so right now. I should probably be a little more frequent with it, but I'm very terrible at coming up with ideas, so I have to actually work at trying to come up with things to ask people about.
You've come up with some good ones, and once in a while you'll ask for some help in our Slack staff channel, and someone will throw some ideas your way, which... Even sometimes they'll give you like a little bit of an idea, and then you are able to take it and run with it and make a good poll out of it, which is good.
Yeah, I can take an idea and I can run with it. I'm not very good at coming up with my own ideas. So
yeah, they're great polls. You've had some recent polls out there in terms of what people would like to see more of on the network. Mm-hmm. What was the result of that? What do people want to see more of?
They want more Star Wars content, and they want more women on the network, and they want more articles. I think we are doing pretty good with taking care of at least two of those. Star Wars content has kind of gone just to Echo Base now.
Yeah.
But, maybe at some point we'll revive one of the other shows.
Yeah, Echo Base is kind of where it's at right now for Star Wars stuff, but we do get a sprinkling of some other things out there. Chris just recently interviewed someone on Chasing Fandom.
Yes.
And a lot of their topic of discussion was Forces of Destiny. So we had some Star Wars content there, and Yeah, we get a little sprinkling in some of the other shows here and there, but yeah, obviously Echo Base is a big one.
Yeah.
Let's see, you also, you guested on one of our past movie drafts. Mm-hmm. How did you do there?
I finished pretty low in the running, but I beat Derek, so that...
Well, you gotta have goals.
Yeah. You know, there's a plus there.
Yeah, oh, yes, absolutely.
I have to have goals.
Absolutely.
It wasn't really a goal, per se. It was more like, oh, hey, I'm not last. Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not being last, and then there's beating Derek. And there's, even though those two things fundamentally may be the same,
sometimes one can be much more satisfying than the other.
Exactly. There's a certain measure of satisfaction that comes from one versus, say, just not coming in last.
Exactly.
So that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I found that doing movie drafts with a bit of alcohol helps.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily help your, like, final result, but it makes sure that you definitely have a good time while you're recording it.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that one movie draft I participated in, I basically had run into the house, like, right before we started recording, poured myself a glass of wine, and I should not... I don't normally get that tipsy that fast, but yeah.
Yep. Hey, it happens. Well. Definitely this last movie draft, I think I had a couple of drinks beforehand, and definitely a couple drinks during.
That last movie draft almost got me in trouble. A lot.
In trouble? Why?
because I was listening at work, and I was just in tears laughing.
It was a lot of fun. Although, see, I gotta say, there's some stuff that Ian had edited out, which was very unfortunate that it got edited out.
Yeah, I've heard. I'm sad.
Yeah, yeah. There was a particular instance, and it was the one thing I was really, really, like, giddy excited about it being in the recording, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was Joel, I believe, who where he sets up to record is fairly close to his kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point during the recording, he got up and used his sink for something. I don't know what. But that immediately kind of got everyone to just break from whatever it was that we were doing and talking about to then bust his chops about, like, being in a bathroom or something like that.
Yeah, that's what the mute button is for, guys.
So while everyone was laughing and busting his chops, I then grabbed my phone and I went onto YouTube and I searched toilet flush and played the, you know, just few second video clip that came up on YouTube, stuck my phone right up to the microphone, and
awesome.
Everyone just got a you know, fantastic toilet flush out of that.
It's awesome.
It was great. It was comedic gold. Everyone laughed. Everyone appreciated it. And Ian cut it out. Yeah.
Damn it!
I was so disappointed in that.
That sucks!
Like, I was looking forward to it. I told my wife about it. And so we're listening to the movie draft together because usually I don't listen to stuff that I'm in, but this was just so good. And with all those people in it, it was fantastic. And that was one of the things that was like, oh, this is going to be great when it comes up. This is definitely going to make me laugh again.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even there. So disappointed. No. So disappointed. It was good, though.
Yeah.
But so you are, speaking of Joel, you're very familiar with a lot of Joel's podcasting habits, which may or may not include a restroom.
Uh-huh.
Because you are a co-host on the new Sci-Fi Pubcast.
That is correct.
And being a co-host on the pubcast means that you take on some other jobs, right? This isn't just a microphone job.
I'm apparently head of security. And I think since Derek's been demoted to dishwasher, I'm also working in the kitchen.
Well, and that's good because you don't want to kill people.
True. Very
which
true.
Which Derek apparently has no concern about.
He you know, there's cheap and then there's cheap.
There's cheap and then there's Derek.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, one of my oldest friends is very disturbed by the idea that I might be the sane one on that podcast.
And you are.
Actually. Yeah. And I basically just told her, you know, yeah, you don't have to deal with Derek.
No, you guys are a lot of fun, though. You have some great discussions. I was able to jump in on, I think, the last beta that you guys did.
Yeah.
And we talked about sci-fi economics, which was a really, really neat discussion.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of different franchises, and a lot of the focus was on Star Trek, though, and how money works in Star Trek, which... If you look at some source material, there is no money in Star Trek. If you look at others, well, there is money, but
right,
what's it used? How is it used, and what's it used for? And
it's a post scarcity economy, basically.
Yeah,
which is would be awesome if we could ever get there. But
yeah,
I'm not holding my breath.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen. But, okay, so you said you have listened to the other Random Chatter interviews that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I start off the real, you know, heavy-hitting questions with one of the toughest ones, which was, where were you born?
I was born in Canoga Park, California, which is on completely the other side of the valley from where I grew up, which is in Burbank, California. I'm not entirely sure why my parents decided to go all the way out there to have me, but okay. it's weird. But yeah, I grew up in Burbank, California, so Burbank's actually a fairly large city. It's where NBC used to be. It's where Warner Brothers is. It's, Disney's over there. I think DreamWorks is kind of sort of there. Border on Universal Studios and stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of studio people there. And yet it likes to think of itself as a small town. And it gets very, very proud of the idea that, we produce people like Tim Burton and Ron Howard and Rene Russo and people, yeah, those kinds of people.
Sure.
And I actually Mara Wilson, I grew up with her brother, and I follow her on Twitter mostly so I can feel old. And yeah, she basically just kind of described Burbank one night as conservatives and goth kids. And
yeah.
I was like, yep, that pretty much sums it up right there.
You know, sure.
Yeah.
And it strangely, that kind of dichotomy actually makes sense of the older generation kind of wanting to hold on to things the way they were, and then the younger generations rebelling a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That absolutely makes sense.
But, you know, high school football games are a big deal. The last time I got dragged to our homecoming game, my high school homecoming game, I was sitting four rows behind this kid who was gushing over the fact that he had met the head coach of my high school football team. And I was about this close to turning around just pointing out that I graduated with the guy's brother. It's not that big of a deal.
Yep. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that, you know, certainly when you have a... Burbank's a city.
Yes.
And it's still part of this, you know, massive metropolitan conglomerate that is the greater LA area.
Yeah.
I can imagine it still kind of does have that small town feel, and you have enough people out of that area who, you know, be it through Hollywood or through other venues, have gotten some fame. Yeah, inevitably you're going to have a small measure of separation between you and some of these more famous folks.
Yeah. And and just like, well, it's basically pretty much where I grew up. It's I see some of the stuff that comes out from over there. I'm like, yep, that's totally something that would happen over there. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I remember you mentioning some point before that your dad was in the film industry, right?
My grandpa actually was worked in the mill at Warner Brothers, and then until he retired, and then my dad worked as a prop master or construction coordinator, set builder, up until when he retired. So yeah, he's worked on Sequest and Soap Dish, Blade Runner, Star Trek VI, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. I think he was working on Scrubs until it finished.
That's cool. Is he retired now, or
yes, still? He's retired now. My parents moved up to Spokane a few years ago, which is weird, but okay.
Yeah, you've mentioned a few times making the trip up there to see them.
Yeah, they're not even in Spokane. They're like an hour north of Spokane. So they're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Which is very, very, which is apparent. They seem to like it, but I still think it's really weird.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's definitely a change. Mm-hmm. Your parents are originally from the Burbank area, right?
Yes. Yes. They grew up in Burbank. They went to the same high school, high school sweethearts. They got married. All of their friends, you know, grew up together, got married, and all of the kids basically, grew up together, played sports together until we all kind of went our separate ways.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, what did you ever get to, like, visit any of the sets that your dad was working on?
Yes, I got to see the Soap Dish set, which was really cool. The Sequest set was really neat. It was they were using the old Phantom of the Opera stage. So the boxes were still there, and then the other half of the soundstage was three quarters of the soundstage was the ship, and it was kind of funny because the animatronic dolphins were so realistic that there was a general worry that someone from the ASPCA would come in and see them sitting on their trailers or hanging from the ceiling and call the cops or something.
Yeah, that would cause a bit of a stir, huh?
Yeah. I guess my dad was on the lot when they brought in the head for the T-Rex for the original Jurassic Park, and
that's cool.
I never got to see it, but apparently she was just hanging out in the soundstage, and you know, a good prank was to send someone in there not knowing that she was just, you know, standing there assembled, ready to eat someone.
Oh yeah. Oh, that scared the hell out of somebody, especially if they went in there in the dark.
Oh yeah,
that would be fantastic.
The only one I regret is my parents decided I had to go to basketball practice when my sister and my mom got to tour the Star Trek set, which is really annoying. Yeah, really annoying.
That's crazy. In what world is basketball practice more important than visiting a Star Trek set?
Not in mine. But yeah, it. I think that kind of was part of what, you know, kind of made me not think of sports as all that important anymore. It's like, it's like sports, Star Trek. Star Trek. Star Trek better.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is this something that you still rib your parents about?
Occasionally. Yeah.
Oh, I would. I definitely would.
Yeah.
I play that up hardcore, like, especially like before Christmas, say.
Yeah, they that doesn't fly with them, unfortunately.
What kind of things interested you when you were a kid?
I was very into sci-fi, fantasy, Star Wars. Obviously, I'm on a network that deals with Star Wars. That Star Wars and Bambi are pretty much the first movies I can remember seeing, which probably explains a lot.
Hey, Bambi is actually a pretty twisted movie.
Yeah. The third movie I can remember seeing very, very early with Secret of Nim. So, yeah, that's all very, very twisted in Star Wars. So, yeah, that... watched Star Trek, Buck Rogers, the original Battlestar Galactica, Voltron. I tried to get into Robotech, but I kept watching the, every time I would watch it, it was always the same episode, and like, well, fine.
Yeah.
That's not meant to be. Pirates of Dark Water, all the 80s cartoons I was very heavily into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, there's some good stuff now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course, I'm probably jaded as an adult. But, like, as a kid, I mean, like, Saturday morning cartoons was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you would get up at, like, 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning because that's when Saturday morning cartoons started. And you sat in front of the TV until, like, 11:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly.
And yeah, it's just now that doesn't really exist. And it's not that there isn't good animation out there now. Certainly, I think the ones that I tend to appreciate are the ones that lean a little bit edgier or a little bit more adult. Things like Archer or Family Guy. I'm not huge into anime, but, you know, you mentioned Voltron. I love the rebooted Voltron series.
Oh, yeah, I love the new Voltron series. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's there's so much similarity to the original series, but they did some, I think, good and appropriate updates to it. The animation style is still similar enough, but it was updated some. The characterizations, again, still similar. The storylines, that kind of stuff. I think it's really cool. I love it. I thought both seasons that have been out have been really, really great.
Right. Yeah, it's been really fun. And I love that the castle flies now. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. So you mentioned basketball.
Yes.
Any other sports that you were involved in?
I grew up playing softball since I was like 5, and then basketball since I was 8, and I tried volleyball for a while, and that didn't work out. I don't jump very, very well, which is odd because I did long jump in high school, and I did badly.
That's different kind of jumping, though.
Yeah, it's a different kind of jumping, but I did long jump badly. I did play basketball through like junior year until I finally said, you know, I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore. I did cross country and shot put and discus up through senior year. So that was fun. That was my first discovery that I like throwing things.
That's a little dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But it can be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the risk of sounding intimidating, once again, yes, I like throwing things.
She likes throwing things.
Yes.
So aside from sports, what other, like, how were you as a kid in school? Were you good academically and other kinds of interests?
I was mostly good academically until that senior year. I developed a very, very bad case of senioritis. I eventually, when I did go to college, I did go in originally as a bio major. But I think around, you know, second half of high school, I was already kind of starting to not want to do hours and hours of chemistry homework and physics. Sure. And I like I just don't like dealing with all the math problems and stuff. Calculus was a bitch to get through. I just barely scraped by. I didn't even pass calculus in high school. I barely scraped by the time I got to college, and that was with the help of my high school calculus teacher. Yeah, he always just said, you know, your calculus is gorgeous, but your algebra sucks.
Yeah.
You know, 5 hours of homework a night is no bueno.
Yeah, so. No. I definitely agree. I did calculus in high school also, and that was along with like physics and you know, other stuff. And yeah, I remember some very long nights as a in high school.
Yeah.
In some cases, I think longer nights than I had in college doing homework. And it's like, wow, that was...
Well, yeah, and plus, you know, with the sports curriculum on top of that, that was just like... I think I burned myself out a bit by senior year. So the last semester of senior year, I actually switched over to the theater class, and we did Our Town.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was fun. I was the town drunk.
Awesome. Nice.
All I had to do was, you know, stumble across the stage, say a few words, and go about my business.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Did you do any other theater beyond high school?
I tried to get into theater when I started in college, and then after I left UC San Diego after a year, I barely passed that first year of college. I went back to Glendale Community College for about 5-6 years, and my original intent was to be a history major, but then I got sucked into the College Theater Guild and ended up doing stage tech for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
House crews, stage tech, and I was a assistant director for a couple of shows, stage manager for a couple of things.
And oh,
that was
cool.
that was always fun. I love playing with the fly rails. That was always a good work.
I bet.
Oh yeah. I kind of regret letting my parents talk me out of, you know, staying with theater tech, but I've discovered that I like, you know, a regular job and predictable hours and stuff.
Well, and it's interesting that your parents talked you out of it, yet a lot of it, there's a lot of similarity to what your dad did.
Exactly.
But that's probably why he talked you out of it.
Very, very likely probably why he talked me out of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I do find myself missing it, but yeah, I like having a steady job now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you got to pay bills, that's a big thing.
Exactly.
So what you mentioned some of the things that interest you as a kid. What are some of your favorite fandoms now?
Well, Star Wars is probably my biggest fandom. Fandom is kind of tricky because I don't get very fanatical about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek, Stargate, yeah, Firefly, anime, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You name it. If it's involved sci-fi, fantasy, or vampires, I probably have seen it or heard of it. I'm kind of leery about, you know, super fans and mm-hmm. stuff. So I kind of try not to be that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes social media is a little infuriating when it comes
yes.
to that.
Yes, definitely.
You get so many people that see things as very, you know, black and white.
Right.
And they don't recognize that there are perfectly acceptable gray areas in the middle.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. I'm very, very... I get very weird about extremists of any kind, so it's...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if it has to be your way or the highway, then I'm probably going to walk the other way.
Yeah. And I don't blame you there. I definitely don't blame you with that. Now, you are into some form, and forgive me because I don't remember which one it is, of martial arts.
Yes. Aikido. It's, unfortunately or fortunately, the only person well known outside of the art is Steven Seagal.
Okay.
However, take that however you want to take it. I've never met the man, but I've heard stories, and but yeah, it's basically the it was created as a martial art of peace.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you're basically learning how to blend with with your attackers, and it's an exchange of energy, a redirection, and we're not trying to break anyone, because if we break the people we're working with, we're not going to get to play with them anymore.
True.
I mean, you can't. there are real world, you know, extensions of what people can do, but mostly we're trying to just you have two opposing forces coming at each other, and how do you take that, twist it around, and send it back out the way it came,
or sure.
off in a different direction. Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been doing Aikido?
Just over 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you are pretty regularly active in it. It's something, you know, regularly discussions on Slack. You say that you have sessions going on. You do a little bit of teaching in it too, right?
No, not teaching. Occasionally I am asked to run a class. I'm not actually qualified to teach a class yet. That may be somewhere off in my future. I don't know. Who knows? It's kind of the equivalent of, you know, basically I kind of described it as this once. It's like, okay, if something had to happen to my teacher, I could in theory go off and teach somewhere, whatever it is that I know, but I don't have any like official certification or anything like that.
Okay.
And that's, and you know, people do that. You know, people, you know, get, you know, pissed off at their teacher, decide they're gonna go and do their own thing, and that's fine. That's something my teacher is very into etiquette and very, very traditional, and just you know, the way I was raised in the martial art, that's just not how things are done.
So, right.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe someday the idea is to pass on what you have learned eventually, but, you know, I'm not at that point yet.
Right. Yeah, it's, well, and there's something to be said for that kind of structure and the respect for that structure and for what it takes to be able to teach something. I mean, there's definitely a difference between being able to do something and having learned it.
Right.
But now being able to look at it from a different perspective and be able to teach someone how to do something. And I think there are far too many people who think, oh, well, just because I've learned it and maybe I've done it a couple of times, I can now go out and teach that. It's something I definitely encounter in my profession quite a bit.
Well, it's that, it goes back to that, you know, that Zen, it's like Zen and Taoist sayings, like the more you talk about something, the less you actually know about it.
Mm, yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, and it kind of, it's interesting, it reflects back on a discussion which might have been, it seems to be in my head, maybe from a fairly recent Echo Base episode, maybe even one that hasn't been posted yet. But there's a discussion that we had about Kanan from Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
And some similarity also to Luke in this current trilogy, that these two came up in basically in the absence of a system.
Exactly.
Kanan was a Padawan when Order 66 occurred. And then we kind of fast forward a number of years, and he's basically a self-proclaimed Jedi Knight.
As far as anyone outside of the temple, that one, and I forget what the episode was, but when he got kind of posthumously knighted by someone,
was it by the Yoda's Force Ghost or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but yeah, even prior to that, he was kind of, once he came to grips with things, because for a long time he was essentially in hiding and tried to hide his Force powers. Right. And then he just came out and said, well, I'm a Jedi. And he really wasn't.
Right.
And then we kind of have the same thing with Luke, where there was no one to teach Luke to the extent, once he became a Jedi to then get to the point of being a master, but it's presumed, and we've certainly seen it in some of the marketing that has just recently come out for The Last Jedi, that he is a master. Well, it had to have been self-proclaimed unless he came across some other Jedi, particularly a master, who could then teach him to that point.
Right. Unless he's been communing with Yoda this entire time.
And that's certainly possible. That's certainly a possibility. I guess in the absence of a system, you have to create a system and you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But it kind of goes along the same lines of what you mentioned about people in Aikido leaving their instructors, their senseis, and saying, I may not be a qualified instructor. Well, their egos tell them that they are.
Right.
So they then go create their own dojo or their own school, and they're going to teach people, but the limit to which they can teach people is only what they know.
Exactly.
And chances are, if they've had this huge ego issue, they probably think that they know way more than they actually do.
Right, right. And my teacher and a lot of the teachers I've been fortunate to learn from are very big on, it's like, talking about, this is not about you.
Right.
This is not about just you. You can't... Aikido is not like Taekwondo or Karate or where there's, katas that you can do on your own. You can't really learn Aikido by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning the technique by doing the technique, and then you're learning the technique by being thrown. So you're learning both sides.
Sure.
At the same time, and we work four and four, so I throw you four times, you throw me four times.
Mm-hmm.
And, if the person I'm working with is going to be a dick, then guess what? After four times, it's my turn.
Right.
And if we're going to just, fight and try to break each other, then we're not going to be able to practice anymore.
Sure. But that also has to... You have to strike a balance there, I'm sure, because if you are proverbially pulling your punches, well, then neither person is learning anything.
Exactly.
Either. And so you still have to do the thing, but you have to be kind of somewhere in moderation. Again, you're not trying to break your opponent, but you're also not going completely easy on them.
Right.
And with this being a practice that, as you said earlier, it's a transfer of energy.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely makes sense, that it's not really something you can practice on your own. You need to have... Someone has to give you that energy for you to then be able to turn it around.
Right, and you work with different people, too. So, I try very hard, especially in classes, to, work with everyone in the class. So, just by... Because everyone is different. I can't throw this person the way I would throw someone else. I can't throw someone who just started, 2 weeks ago, the same way I can throw someone who's been training for 20 years.
Sure.
So that you have to have some kind of flexibility in yourself to be able to handle that. And I mean, at some point, we are actually attacking full speed. So at some point, if I don't get out of the way and you're coming at me, it's my fault.
So, right.
And I get people like, well, I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm going to get out of the way.
Right. Well, yeah. And
if you punch straight, I'll get out of the way. Fine.
Yeah. Well, and part of your training is also, obviously, to not get hurt, or at least avoid that to the greatest extent possible.
Exactly.
But, real world, if you're defending yourself against someone, you're probably going to get hurt to some extent.
Exactly.
Interesting. Exactly. So do you have some interest in becoming a teacher to some extent?
Maybe. I'm not really the kind of person who wants to run, you know, a dojo or something. I just want to train. Like, right. It's kind of skipped a generation in my practice where, like, my teacher's teacher, he just trains. He doesn't even teach anymore. He just, you know, gets on the mat, does a whole bunch of stuff, and then tells everyone to go and do something. Hmm. And it's like, that's... And he doesn't want to teach. He doesn't want to be in charge of anything. He just wants to train. And that's kind of where my mentality is. Like, I don't want to deal with any of the, you know, political stuff. I don't want to deal with any of the, you know, logistics. I just want to train.
Right.
And, you know, I get enough of the being in charge experience when my teacher goes away for a week or two. I don't need it. When she comes back, I gladly hand the reins back over to her. And say, you take it.
Well, but it certainly shows a great deal of respect for you as a person, mm-hmm. and the skills that you have, that she's confident that she can basically hand it over to you when she's gone and say, here, you run classes for me.
Well, I'm basically like the third person in line too. So it's like I have one person who's you know, higher ranked than me, and she does most. If for some reason my teacher isn't around, she does most of the classes, and then the rest of the black belts we you know, figure it out amongst ourselves who can do what.
Sure.
But yeah, and it's kind of weird. It's like I'm. Because you know it's about, you know, squashing down the ego. So it's like I'm kind of like the highest, the senior. I'm the senior student in my dojo, mm-hmm. but I always like going to other dojos where I'm not the big fish in the pond. You know, I'm very happy to be the small fish. You know, like everyone else can. Everyone else, if you're higher ranked than me, great. I will go play with you, and you can be awesome. And I will try to, you know, suck up as much as I can from you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's... And that's... I think it's a great perspective, and it's humbling, and it shows that no matter how good you are, if you change environments, there's now a whole new set of things to be learned.
Exactly.
So, exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Now, there's another love that you have.
Yes.
Which you and I jointly have, and we occasionally have discussions, and we post some pictures about this in Slack, uh-huh. and that's for cooking.
Yes. I actually did go to cooking school. I graduated in 2003, I think.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, have never done much with it other than... cook for myself and friends, mm-hmm. Mostly because, you know, entry-level positions don't pay rent.
True.
And stuff. So, I joke on occasion that my life goal is to be a slightly duller version of Under Siege. which is one of the few Seagal movies I liked.
I was going to say, you just brought it back to Steven Seagal. That's fantastic. Like, he was a cook in that.
He was the cook, and like, okay, yeah, I want to be just, you know, slightly duller. I want to have a slightly duller life than that, but yeah. Eventually, if I can get to a place where I'm just cooking and training and playing video games, that would be great.
Well, and you would be much less of a dick than he was in that movie, or pretty much any of his movies.
I try not to be, like, I have a very, even before I started Aikido, I had a very underdeveloped sense of self-importance, so, like, anytime people are, like, all trying to get to me at one time, it's very, very weird. It's like, I don't, like, no, you guys can deal with this without me. Really, you can. Go and take care of it.
Sure, sure.
I'm always happy to hand off things to people, and It's like, here, you take care of that.
Well, but it's also nice to have people acknowledge what you contribute and to kind of group around you because they know that you're very capable. And
yeah.
You know, we even see that. I mean, amongst our staff group in Slack, it's when you speak, your stuff is definitely worth listening to.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's like I think I was talking to you at one point. I was like, how did I get to be one of the adults around here? that's just weird.
Yeah, you know, we sometimes we all break down.
Yeah.
So cooking. Have you worked at all in a restaurant?
No, I tried to apply to a couple of places, and I never got side job, and I never got in. I did work for a catering company for about 6 months, and the schedule just wasn't between my regular work schedule and not having enough work to do. I mm-hmm. just couldn't get to do it very much.
Sure. Is it something that in some way you want to pursue?
I'm not entirely sure. I know I would like to do more of it than I do. Mm-hmm. It just requires more time than I have,
right,
in any given day, because I work for 8 hours and then I train for an hour and a half and then I have to go home. Mm-hmm. And I'm only really home on the weekends, and at least right now it's blazing hot outside and
sure.
my kitchen gets abysmal.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
I love baking. I make cookies a lot, especially in December. At some point I'm going to have the budget to, like, you know, ship to all of you guys, because yeah, that's
I've definitely requested.
That's that. Yeah, you're not the only one. But yeah, I love to bake. At my old job, I would take off a couple of days in December and just kind of go insane
mm-hmm.
with the baking. I have a picture somewhere of like half of my living room is covered with bags of cookies.
And oh gosh!
Like, okay. Yeah, carry one off the deep end a tiny bit, just tiny bit.
See, baking frustrates me because I feel that I am shackled. Like, I feel that I lose my creativity because baking is so scientific, and you have to have the right proportions of things. When it comes to cooking,
mm-hmm.
I feel like a huge amount of creativity because I can just do. I mean, yeah, if I do the wrong thing or do something in excess, then it's not palatable.
Right.
But I just feel that I have so much more freedom to do things. Well, baking is, and I love the outcome. I freaking mm-hmm. love cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, oh. And to me, for most cookies, the thing mm-hmm. that ruins cookies is actually baking them. So if you just give me a bowl full of raw cookie dough, I'm good.
Yeah.
I will just
yeah.
sit in the corner. I will be quiet. I will behave myself. It's the only thing that will make me shut up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I freaked out a couple of people at school. And would just, you know, I would, you know, take a ball of dough and just pop it in my mouth. And,
mm-hmm.
But that's raw. I ate raw. Like, I've been eating cookie dough since I was 2. I'm probably immune to salmonella by now.
I gotta say, this whole stigma of raw eggs kind of ticks me off, because unless you are buying farm fresh eggs, they're pasteurized.
Oh, yeah.
There really is such little danger.
Uh-huh.
And please, FDA, do not shut me down. I do not shut down the Random Chatter Network because we're giving bad food
please.
Advice. This is just me talking about my own personal feelings on this whole raw egg thing. And I think it's crap because they're pasteurized eggs. So let's move on from that.
And I have friends who will, you know, extol the virtues of non-pasteurized eggs and raw milk and stuff. And
sure.
I've had the stuff, and it's great. I just, yeah. You know, it's not in my budget right now. But you know.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that the things now that require less processing cost more?
Exactly.
That you know, sucks. It's interesting. And I grew up on a dairy farm. And so we used to, I mean, I remember the milk truck coming and, you know, my grandparents would, you know, dump off their raw milk into the milk truck. And while my grandmother would still go out and buy milk, there was still usually some raw milk around here somewhere.
Right.
On a fairly regular basis. But I think she preferred the safety of it being pasteurized. You know, I mean, she knew that, you know, obviously there are contaminants and stuff, and, you know, they knew the process. You can't guarantee that everything is sterile all the way through. So, yeah, right. let's let the pros actually do the processing of it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there was certainly some raw milk around here and there, and, you know, people were fine with it. But, I understand the dangers of it.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, other than that, I've been really into making soups lately. You know, I need to make another vat of tomato soup at some point this year and fill up my freezer again. My freezer's looking kind of empty. part of the problem is I live alone, so if I'm making stuff in bulk, it has to, you know, go in my freezer, and, you know, my freezer is not that big.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes making something like that is only worth doing if you make it in bulk.
Exactly.
Especially if it's a soup or a stew. Those things, they do so well to make a giant pot of.
Right.
But then even also baking, it's like, well, so you make a cake or a pie. Yes, you absolutely can eat the whole thing yourself. I've done it far too many times.
You and me, Paul.
But things like that are obviously better shared.
Exactly.
And that's one of the great things to me about cooking. Like, I love hosting holidays and, you know, having tons of people over, hosting parties, that kind of stuff, because I love to cook and I like to make people happy with my cooking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, this is where I get kind of into a bit of a catch-22, because I'm also a bit of an introvert, so after a while, crowds just make me nervous and make me want to go away, and if people are all at my house, I can't go away. I have to kick them all out. I'm way too nice about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And sometimes it does get tiring when, you know, I've had my wife tell me, gee, you need to, like, join the group. Well, I'm cooking.
Yeah.
So unless people come into the kitchen, and there's only so many people that can come into the kitchen before I kind of get ticked off because they're in my way.
Right.
Or they're distracting me. I kind of can't socialize when I'm cooking.
Well, that's why, that's why you need, like, a great room or something, like, so, you know, the kitchen's open into, like, the living room or something, so, you know, people can be talking to you and you're not, you know, hiding in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Very true. That's definitely a good way to do things. But, gosh, I think, given what you said, catering could be a great side gig for you.
Yeah, if I can find the time.
Yeah, if you find one that fits in your schedule, because then you're not having people over to your place. You're still getting to cook. You're getting some of that interaction with people, and then, you know, you're eventually going away.
Exactly.
It's kind of limited, you know, and you're not forced to socialize. Very few people, for some odd reason, don't want to socialize with the caterer. When I go to something that's catered, I talk it up with the caterer because I want to know, hey, how did you make this? And this is fantastic.
How did you do this? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure the caterers probably get ticked off because they're like, I just want to do my job. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Damn it, dude. Shut up.
No way. Yeah. Maybe eventually. Especially, you know, right now, I'm kind of wanting to concentrate on training and all of that. And, you know, I'd like to eventually go back to school and maybe, you know, take some tech courses or something, you know, learn a few more survival skills, you know, just in case, because, you know, things are weird at the moment, and you never know what survival skills you might need.
Very true.
But, yeah, eventually, yeah, if I could ever get back to, you know, cooking regularly, that would be awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's, I can't, you know, it's embarrassing for me to say that, yes, I worked in a restaurant. It was like my first job. I was still in high school. We had a restaurant that opened here locally, and I got a job there, and basically they actually had me doing a little bit of prep cooking work, which was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then it was also, I mean, I was a kid. They paid me under the table. It was basically do whatever we tell you to do.
Exactly.
Which, you know, could have involved cleaning. Well, it definitely did involve cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, a little bit of like prep cooking here and there that they taught me.
Right.
Some stuff, which was kind of neat. I think, though, I was only there for like 6 months. The owners were just rotten people. And like at that time, at about 6 months, I think everyone had quit.
Ooh.
So they were already like into their second cycle of people because they were just so bad to people.
Wow.
But yeah, I love to cook, and I've always, you know, one of my good friends, John, he and I both joke about one day like running a food truck or something.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Where we just say, you know what? Screw everything. We're just going to give up on our careers and everything we've been doing, and we're just going to buy food trucks.
Nice.
And we're going to go out and you know, run a food truck for a living.
That would be kind of cool.
It actually really would. And I know these guys work incredibly hard because it's not just the food truck. I mean, they're up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing their prep work and doing their shopping and, you know, all that's, it's crazy. It's crazy. And you know, there's some that are great because they have, like, a permanent fixed location that they work out of all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You go to bigger cities, and they're competing for spaces all the time, though.
Right.
And, you know, so some days you look out, other days it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much involved in it. And, yeah, it would be a big headache.
Yeah. You know, well, if we ever get to that post-scarcity economy, that's definitely on my list of pipe dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome.
So, what's your... So, you mentioned baking is your favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite food?
I love sushi. I actually should probably say that pizza is my favorite food, but I eat too much of it. But sushi is a very, very close second. I can eat sushi all day. It's actually funny. I don't know that my sister still has issues with it, but I once sent her out of the room because I brought home some octopus.
Oh, octopus is so good.
And oh yes, in small doses it gets too rubbery. But I was just sitting there in front of the TV eating octopus sushi, and she just left. She just walked out of the room.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yes. TV all to myself.
I like grilled octopus.
I've had grilled octopus just raw. Oh.
Yeah, sushi. The grilled is good. They marinate sushi a little bit and then put it on the grill, and you just kind of get that little bit of smokiness from it.
Mm.
And it doesn't. I don't think they cook it all the way through. It's just to get that tiny. I mean, not even a char goes on it, but it's just this tiny little bit of cooking happens. This little bit of science happens within it, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I lied. I think one of the last times I went up to Berkeley to train, we had someone brought in something. This kind of was kind of like a ceviche with octopus, and that was kind of lovely.
Yeah, ceviche is a wonderful thing. Which up here in the Northeast, I cannot get good ceviche, but when I go down your way. That's where I can find great ceviche.
Yeah.
It is. It's definitely... I can't get it here. I really... Right. I mean, there's some places that have it on the menu, but I won't even try it.
Yeah.
it's not worthwhile. I'd have to go to, you know, Boston or New York City to get good ceviche from where I am.
Yeah.
And even there, it's, I'd have to definitely make sure that I hit a good restaurant that knows how to do it properly. Otherwise, I gotta go to the Southwest.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're ever out here, we can probably find you some.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could. It's usually a great find. I'll tell you, if ceviche is on the menu, I get it. It's definitely one of my go-to things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on sushi. Sushi is wonderful stuff. And I actually only got into it a few years ago. My wife, who at the time when I was dating, she loved sushi and she wanted to go on a date to a sushi restaurant. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah, you can't.
And I had no idea. She coached me through it, and I'm like, I'm in love. This is great. Both her and the sushi.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I got into it kind of in high school, and then kind of never, like, you know, poor college student. You can't afford sushi or anything like that. But you know, we would my suite mates and I, when I was at UCSD, would all gather around at least one rice cooker and, you know, roll rice up into nori and eat it like a burrito. And that was always fun. But yeah, you know, I've basically come to the conclusion that you don't train this long in Aikido and not develop a taste for it, because every party we have, there's always a platter of sushi or sashimi somewhere, and dim sum and all kinds of good stuff.
See, dim sum. I crave to find a good dim sum place.
If you ever come out here, there's a couple of good places.
There is definitely nothing up here. There might be a place that has like some single type of dumpling,
right?
But not an array of dim sum. And yeah, I've been dying lately to get to a great dim sum place, and just recently in my travels. And it's one of those things that, like, once in a while I think of it, other times I don't, or it just doesn't work out with when I'm there because of other things, or the place is closed one night or whatever. So I haven't been able to do it, but dim sum is a thing I definitely, absolutely 100% want.
Well, Chinatown is a semi-short train ride away from me. So, you know, if you're ever out here, we can fix that.
Yeah. It's been a few years since I've been to, LA.
Yeah.
But I got to get out there again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you are a fan. Who's your favorite TV chef?
I love Alton Brown. He's funny, and he's such an awesome nerd. Lately, I've been watching a lot of Gordon Ramsay's videos on Facebook, and you know, it's so weird. You know, like, I've heard the stories, like, he's actually a nice guy. It's just that, you know, for television, he needs to play, you know, the, you know, mean head chef and stuff. But his videos that he puts out, his and Jamie Oliver's videos are really, really good.
I am so conflicted about Gordon Ramsay. I want to like the guy. We watch a lot of his shows here in my house.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's so much of it that I just say, God, that guy is such an ass. But yeah, I guess a lot of it is for the shock value. It's for production. It gets viewers, and that's what people like.
Right.
But then also, that kind of turns me off to an extent that it's like, well, all right. I mean, the guy's talented, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've seen him, you know, dress down a chicken, and it's just, I mean, the guy can do it in 14 seconds.
Exactly.
You know, it's absolutely incredible and flawless.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
I can tell you that my Garmin J instructor probably could have given Gordon Ramsay a run for his money, at least in the asshole department. It's the highest grade I got, and he so screwed me on my final. But, you know, he would have me go do side projects while everyone else was doing stuff. He's like, well, I'm pushing you because you're fast. I'm pushing you because you're good. Like, okay, that's great, but can you tone it down just a bit and sure. not make me screw up my final? That would be nice. But yeah, it's the highest grade I got, and that's all, you know, salads, and that's where I learned how to make sausage, and that's fun.
Yep.
Yeah. If society collapsed tomorrow, I know how to make bacon.
Hey, and that is what counts.
Exactly.
Bacon is absolutely what counts.
Yes, exactly.
You mentioned Jamie Oliver, and maybe there's more of him on, like, BBC or something, mm-hmm. but at least in terms of his appearances on American TV, it mm-hmm. just seems like he can't get something started here.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, because he's really, really nice, and I do like that he's trying to get people to, you know, eat real food
yeah.
instead of crap, but... Yeah, he has a lot of videos on Facebook that I sometimes will take a look at too. So
I like his philosophies, but I think he is too nice and he doesn't have a shtick.
Right.
And I think that's where people American viewers lose him, because he doesn't have Alton Brown has a shtick. He's the nerdy guy, and he brings uh-huh. science into cooking, and he tells particularly like, you know, the Good Eats
uh-huh.
series, he brings a story into it, and it's just all just amazingly brilliantly done, and it's incredible.
Right. It's awesome, and he has puppets and stuff, but yeah.
Exactly. Puppets sell me.
Puppets are awesome. You give me
puppets and raw cookie dough, and I'm so easy to please. I'm so easy to please.
We're both just easily amused.
How about Anthony Bourdain?
I like Anthony Bourdain. He's you know, he can be a bit of an ass, but I like, you know, he's, you know, very no nonsense, very, you know, willing to go and, you know, eat as the locals eat, and he's very big on, you know, he'll point out, like, unless you actually cannot eat meat, like, I've known at least one instructor who was allergic to animal protein, and that was weird, but it's like, unless you're actually allergic, unless there is something that you have an issue with, you find yourself in a village somewhere and they cook their prized chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And they cook their prized chicken for you, you're not going to turn that down.
Right.
Because that would be rude. You know, we didn't really get... I was doing Japanese archery for a while, and I just don't have the time for it right now, but my instructor is a Buddhist monk, and he is vegetarian, but if, you know, someone serves him fish, he's going to eat the fish. Even his wife thinks it's weird that he only eats vegetables. So it's like, she will sometimes mix some chicken or fish into what she's cooking. He's like, oh, these vegetables taste really good. Taste really fishy. Good. Okay. But he's like, I've had to point out, you know, the Buddhist monks who go and beg, you know, they don't have the luxury of, you know, turning their nose up at whatever goes into their bowl. They have to eat what they're given.
Sure. So, they may have a preference, but if that's what's in front of them, then
exactly.
they're going to accept it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anthony Bourdain, I love the mixture of the travel and the culture and the mm-hmm. food, and it really shows so much how food is associated with culture.
Exactly.
And not only the ingredients and the preparations, but food is a cultural centerpiece. I mean, we, you know, if you're talking to someone, I mean, sometimes it's something really simple, like, hey, let's go out for a coffee or for a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, very often, in fact, we hey, let's have lunch, let's have dinner, let's have a party, we have people over, let's have a barbecue, we center so much social activity around our meals, and our society
exactly
is very much based on that. And obviously, you know, here in the U.S., a lot of that is to excess.
Mm-hmm.
But I still even think it's neat how we have a lot of very regional differences, mm-hmm. which are associated with those regional cultures. So I do like to see that once in a while he does explore some of those things in the U.S. as well.
Right.
So it's not just all overseas, but I mean, the places that he has taken his show, or his several shows, mm-hmm. have been absolutely incredible.
Right. Yeah, and I don't catch a lot of his stuff, but I do see some of the stuff he writes. I do see some of the stuff he posts online sometimes, and just like, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that gets taken for granted that, you know, in especially in Western culture, that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, these are, you know, first world problems of, you know, oh, I can't actually eat this because I don't believe that I should, that this is something that should be killed for my food, whereas, you know, there are people who are actually, you know, that's the only thing they're going to be able to eat for the next who knows how long.
Yeah, there's some... food brings about some very interesting statements on society and cultures and subcultures and philosophies, both at a macro level and a micro level. And,
oh, yeah.
There's so much. There's so much. We could go on, I think, for a long time with that. So, but I think I think our time here with our interview is wrapping up, because otherwise I think we're just going to talk about food and cooks.
Yeah. That would be
great. And I think you and I absolutely should do that sometime.
That could be very, very dangerous and very long and torturous for people who actually might be listening to this.
True. And it's funny to think that, like, some people don't have an interest in food even though they eat every day.
Yeah, that's
it's like
weird.
How could you not, like, take greater interest in
the stuff you put into your body?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it's but some people don't care.
Yeah, some people just don't care.
Oh well,
that's okay. You know, okay.
Is there anything, Carrie, that you want to pitch?
No, not really. Just, you know, thanks for. I'm kind of surprised you got to me so soon. There are much more important people on the network than me, but yeah.
Oh, come on now. No, Carrie.
Again,
you are one of our favorite people.
I must crush my ego underfoot like grape at every opportunity. So, you know.
No, Carrie, you're wonderful. Where can people find you out on the interwebs?
I'm on Twitter at CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I. Blackfire42, which I, you know, knowing that I have to give that out now, I realize it's way long, but it's not something I've been able. Any iterations of having to change it would just be, you know, all just too much hassle.
Yeah, I agree.
and there's a bit of sentimental value in that too. So
sure,
yeah,
sure. Well, Carrie, it was lovely talking to you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And, we're definitely going to have... we got to talk more about food stuff.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But, that'll be for another time. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our 7th episode of Random Chatter Interviews featuring Carrie Simpson. Be sure to follow Carrie on Twitter at CarrieBlackfire42 and check out her latest poll on the Random Chatter website. Speaking of our website, you can find us online at randomchatter.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, and on Twitter at randomchatter. Send us your emails to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. I'm Qui-Gon Tim, and you can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with 2 M's. If you like what we're doing here at Random Chatter, be sure to spread the word. Tell your friends and leave us awesome reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We also appreciate some financial support to help us keep this train rolling. Visit patreon.com/randomchatter to show us some love. Even $1 a month gets you access to our Slack channel, where you can hang out every day with hosts, staff, and other fans. The music featured on Random Chatter Interviews is Kaboom by I Fight Dragons. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned to the Random Chatter feed for more Random Chatter Interviews coming at you all summer long.